I can have your attention here in the media center and up in the press box, we are joined by the winner of the Bass Pro Shops NRA Night Race, and that's none other than Kyle Busch, driver of the number 18 M&M's Caramel Toyota Camry for Joe Gibbs Racing. Tonight was Kyle's 40th win in the Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series, which ties him with NASCAR Hall of Famer Mark Martin. And it was also his 180th NASCAR National Series victory. And most importantly, he swept the weekend here at Bristol. What is the secret to your success here, good sir?
This ain't the place to talk about that. Certainly feels really good, though, to be able to come out here and had the opportunity by winning the truck race, had the opportunity still open by winning the Xfinity race. So coming in here tonight, we knew we had the pressure on, and it was kept on all day long. You know, those guys that were up there running in the front, like Larson and Kenseth and Eric Jones especially, they kept us honest and made sure that we had to go out there and get it done and achieve it. And I was driving for everything I had there the last 80, 60 laps, whatever it was, and giving it everything I had. So just great job by my team, everybody with Adam Stevens and the guys that work on the car, everybody at the shop making some really fast race cars for us, and TRD, all the guys with the motor shop. So this is fun. This is cool. It's neat to accomplish this once again, and it's crazy to do it at the same track over again for as many times as maybe as I had the opportunity to do a sweep all over again. But nonetheless, this is Bristol Sweep 2.0, and this time around, Brexton's here, so that's pretty cool too.
Good deal. We'll open the floor for questions. We'll start with Jeff, and we'll work our way around.
Jeff Gluck from JeffGluck.com. I don't remember until this year seeing you embrace the heel role this much. Like, you were so playing it up with the three to the crowd and, like, the cup in your ears and then sweeping on top of your car. Are you, like, getting more comfortable with that role? And like, I feel like you earlier in your career you sort of fought against it, and now you're just like, bring it on. Is that accurate at all?
It don't matter what I do or what I say or how much you try to change. It just you don't change perception. People have whatever perception it is on you, and you know, it's to me, I don't know that it's necessarily whether or not you have the most fans or the most followers. To me, it's just about being able to go out there and put on a show for those that are buying tickets and being a part of it. So. I know Rowdy Nation's pretty strong, and whether or not they're the strongest allegiance, probably not. But you know, fact of the matter is we've got a pretty good following going. So love my fans and everybody that's out there that's cheering for us to be successful, to go out there to win races, and they get, guess what? They're the ones that are celebrating the hardest right now and tonight. So it's a lot of fun. You know what? There was this guy that was at one of my hospitality appearances today, and he was giving me the bird the whole time. And I was like, yeah, I know I'm number one. I've been number one the past two nights. So then he gave me two. And I was like, well, you know what? All you're doing is solidifying that I already know. So it's pretty awesome to be able to go out there. And I'm sure they're still booing and whining and crying all the way home tonight. So, you know, they're driving home mad. So people be careful. Well, it was a Toyota hospitality where it was out in the fan zone, and so there was fans on the outside of the gate. And what's funny is he wasn't even wearing any other driver's gear, so he's just a – is that a floater? Is that what they're called?
Let's go to Nate, and then to Bob, and then to Christian.
He's the hater. Nate Ryan, NBC Sports. Two questions, Kyle. Real quick, the first one is, what did you tell Brexton to say in the driver intro song thing?
Truck, yeah.
Truck, yeah.
Truck, yeah.
There was some debate over that.
I told him to say truck, yeah. What did he say? I thought he said truck, yeah. I don't know.
The second thing is, even though second win in four races for you, I know pit stops were a little bit of a problem a couple of times tonight. Do you feel like, hey, it's great that you guys are getting momentum, you got the stage win tonight, you get the 5 points for the overall win, but... Are there still some things you feel like you guys need to clean up heading into the playoffs, pit stop-wise, and anything else?
Yeah, there's no question. You know, certainly sometimes you come down pit road and you have a really good stop and you maintain or even gain spots, and other times you come down pit road and they have an issue and we lose spots, you know. But, you know, you expect to lose a spot or two, especially when you're having your rear guy do spring rubbers or something like that, you know. But when it's just an air pressure adjustment stop or whatever it might be, and you lose spots on that because somebody stumbles, you know, it's a little frustrating. But I have my mistakes all the time out on the racetrack as well, too. And, you know, there was a couple times where I chattered the rear tires or got loose or whatever it might have been and lost a spot here or there, you know. But, you know, we all have those mistakes. Adam didn't make the best of adjustments from practice last night into the race today. We definitely could have made some more than what we did, and that's just something we're going to work on in order to perfect ourselves for when we come back here next time. And we got to be a little more mindful of some of that stuff and our past notes and rely on those in order to be better with these final 13 races all the way to Homestead, or however many it is. I don't even know how to count. It's 12 left. Okay, 12. Thanks, Nate.
We'll go Bob, Christian, then Mike.
Bob Hockers, ESPN. I have two. The first is Adam said that his main worry was that you might take too many risks trying to get the sweep, that you might elevate your risk level. Did you have to hold yourself back at all at any time tonight?
Yeah, I mean, there was a few times in the night where the tires weren't really feeling great, and they just felt like they had a lot of air pressure build up. It was one of the longest runs that we had, and so you know, I commented to Adam that the car's, you know, really chattering, really vibrating right now, and he was like, "I've heard those comments before," and not many laps later, we blown out a tire, you know. So fortunately, somebody else did before us, which gave us the caution that we needed. But it's just air pressure builds here, man. And once you get the tire thickness continues to wear and it gets thinner, that air pressure gets closer and closer to outside air, you know, and it's going to become a problem. So unfortunately for whoever it was that gave us that caution, it was fortunate for us. So just had to back it down, had to bide my time. A couple times coming off of pit road, I was inside the 24 and the 20. Sandwiched me and squashed me there, so I had to just back out of that situation, and then I lost another spot to the 11 while rolling pit road on that same time. So just, you know, stuff like that, you just kind of got to pick and choose your battles.
And did you know when you won that when you got booed that you were going to put your fingers up by your ears, or were you going to sometimes you do the little crying type thing? Did you, was that planned or was that spur of the moment?
No, I knew there was going to be the heckles for sure, you know. My fans are great and amazing, but there's no way all of my fans are going to be able to fill up Bristol Motor Speedway, okay? So the best of the best that have won here have been booed and have been whatevered for a long, long time. So I'm fine with that. But, you know, my people get to go home safe and secure and slow and steady and patient because they get to celebrate. I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know what I'm going to tell you here in about 5 seconds. So I'm going to shut my mouth.
We'll go to Christian, then to Mike, and we're going to head to the press box.
Christian Coley on pit road. Kyle, I was wondering, the last two nights you had late race restarts. Well, tonight you didn't have that late race restart. Was there ever a point at the end of the race where you were kind of worried the caution would come out? And were you prepared like you were the past two nights to use that restart to your advantage?
Dude. That's a good point. If the caution ever came out, man, that was not going to be pretty. And I say that because the tires were just so wore out. The tires were just killed. I mean, if the caution would have come out in the last 10 laps, you were going to have to stay out. Like, I don't know that you would have came in and pitted. You would have just taken the chance that you could just burst off on the restart, get enough clean air, get enough space that those with fresh tires couldn't catch you. You know, so I'm fortunate and thankful that there wasn't a late race caution that I had to deal with. And because yesterday's was. The car was really evil for the last 10 laps that we had to run it there. So that was fortunate. And I was kind of worried more so that Eric was going to be able to run us back down and get back to us because he was just really, really good and really, really fast around the bottom and looked a lot like myself here years ago when I was really good and patient with the bottom and being able to work down there all day long and be able to pick off cars. And when anybody'd go to the top, I'd just be like, thank you, see you later. You know, that's kind of what Eric looked like tonight. So he was really impressed. Impressive to me. I wish I had more of that for the bottom, but we just didn't. Our car was better up top.
Mike Kimber, USA Today. Two things. After the race, Larson tweeted, "Love him or hate him, I feel he is the most talented driver I will ever witness in my lifetime."
With a goat? There's goat emojis?
Right. How does it make you feel to hear that from another successful driver?
It's awesome. You know, I appreciate that. It's definitely, you know, an honor, a humbling statement. You know, Larson is obviously arguably one of the most talented guys as well, too, to hit our sport in a long, long time. And people will continue to say that about him as well. So it was fun racing with him earlier in the race. You know, there were times where we were racing real hard side by side, and I was bottom and he was top. I was top, he was bottom, wherever. We were all over the place, right? And we're coming down. I got a run through one and two on him, and we're coming down the backstretch, and I got a nose ahead of him. And I'm like, I'm going to slide him in turn three here. And then I was like, you cannot slide a slider. Like, there's no way. You cannot slide Kyle Larson. So I was just like, nope, never mind. Got to run the bottom. So, you know, there's other guys that you can do that to, but Larson is not one of those guys. So he don't care, though. He'll throw it in on you. And sometimes one of these days it'll bite him. But, you know, you just know that he's giving it everything he's got. And that's just that – I think it's that sprint car mentality. You always think that that guy that you're racing around sometimes is going to give it to you and is going to save your butt. But he'll find out one of these days that don't always happen.
And what are you doing next week? Are you looking for three or four races to run somewhere?
No, I actually I ran out of my quota. My wife told me that I'm done. And the rest of the year it's just I got Xfinity race at Richmond, and the rest of the year it's just Cup stuff, so everybody will be thrilled. Yeah, we're going on vacation, so we're out.
We're going to go upstairs to the press box.
Chris Knight, catchfence.com. Mike Henry stole my question, but Kyle, I was just curious about the contact on pit road with Matt Kenseth. Were you worried that would affect the car in any way?
It wasn't too hard, so I wasn't too worried about it. But I just wanted Matt to know, like, hey, man, I've been outside of you twice now, and both times you've just doored me and run me up outside the pit road lane. So, you know, I didn't know if he didn't know that I was out there. I knew that he did once we touched. But, you know, I'm sure he was just watching his tack, not really worrying about his mirror, so his spotter should have called it. But no harm, no foul. We moved on, and that was that.
Come back downstairs here to Camden, and then we'll go to Jim, and then to Daniel.
All right, Camden Lazenby for RubbingsRacing.com. Kyle, you won every race here this weekend. You won every stage but the second stage here today.
We gave that one away.
Okay, so that's not something that weighs on you at all. I think that was you won the race. It was probably worth it, but would it meant anything to you to get every stage win this weekend?
I mean, it would have. We could have stayed out and led those five laps because we were the leader. When we decided to pit and give away that stage, I definitely wanted to get that stage, but I knew what was more important, and that was getting the win. So we forfeited that stage, essentially, and we restarted, I don't even know, seventh, something like that, ninth maybe, and we might have finished eighth or something in that stage. I got boxed in by the 27 car and got stuck behind him for three or four laps and had a couple guys get by me. So, you know, That's not going to weigh on me too much here. I'm not going to worry about that. They're not going to put it on that big banner. Kyle Busch sweeps the weekend and all stages except one. So, not worried about it.
Jim?
Jim Utter, motorsport.com. It doesn't seem it was that long ago you were in here talking about the last.
That was last night.
That's correct.
Yeah.
The last time that you gave one of these away in some fashion. Mm-hmm. Over the last 4 weeks, which includes two victories, do you believe that you guys have turned that corner and are more in position to capitalize on what you've had this season?
We've had really strong cars and had really good opportunities to win a lot of races this year, and we just haven't gotten it, you know, for whatever reason. And there's no store you go to buy luck. And I feel like luck's probably the biggest thing that we were just kind of missing out on. And it's just kind of starting to turn around a little bit. You know, things are going a little bit better in our direction. Some of those lucky breaks are kind of floating our way rather than somebody else's way. And that's just kind of the way it goes, you know. So take them when you can get them is kind of my mentality. And it is so frustrating, though, for this season to be as fast as we've been and as competitive as we've been and the opportunities that were there for us to be able to score the victories and to not get those, that, man, it just makes you really literally want to pull all your hair out. And so, you know, being able to score the win just kind of relieves all that, like, okay, you know, I can still do this. People look at me probably like I'm crazy. I win a lot, but, you know, it's so hard to win these cup races that when these ones slip away, it definitely makes you way, way angrier than the other ones.
Daniel?
Dale McFadden with NBC Sports. You know, there's been a lot of talk already about fans booing you and stuff. Do you remember the first time that ever happened to you in your racing career when you got that reaction out of fans? And also, you swapped the lead with Eric Jones 10 times tonight. Your history together is well-documented. What was it like for you to be fighting like that with him for a win at this level for the first time like that?
Yeah, so as far as the booing thing goes, I definitely remember my first Xfinity Series start for sure. I just can't remember before that if I was – I mean, I'm sure there were boos, but, you know, literally when I was at my local short track, I won 10 out of 15 races in 1 year in my late model, and, you know, driver intros were not always very pretty. So, you know, the locals at my local short track didn't like me because I won too much. But I got on the Xfinity Series scene back in 2003, and for my first Xfinity Series start, I can remember it vividly. I qualified third in Joe Nemechek's car. It was the 87 Ditech car, and I went through driver intros, and I got booed. And I was just like, why? Wait, what? I haven't even been here yet. Like, give me a chance. But my brother ruined that for me. So I started out at a deficit already. And I've definitely gained positive, but there's definitely still going to be those that want to be loud. So I've always just kind of gone under the notion that they're just trying to say my last name and they can't finish it.
Kyle here in center, James Pike.
Race what was chaser. The second one? Racing with Jones. Awesome. I mean, I love Eric Jones. You know, he's a phenomenal talent and a great race car driver, and we knew that a long time ago. And I don't know whether it's a good thing I found him or a bad thing I found him, because one of these days I'm going to lose to him and I'm not going to be thrilled, but I'm still going to congratulate him. So I thought today was actually going to be that day, but you know, he was awesome to race with. You know, for as fast as we were and for being up front, as for as much as he wanted to win and I wanted to win, we gave each other room. We never touched each other. It was always smooth. It was clean. It was great, you know. So I really appreciated that from him. And he's gonna win a lot. And Truex said it last week. I think, you know, there's no team orders, and his time will come. And when it does, he's gonna go on a roll.
Kyle here in the center, James Pike, Race Chaser Online at the Performance Motorsports Network. So you've gotten two of these weekend sweeps now. So I was wondering if you could kind of compare and contrast 2010 to this weekend and then put this in historical context, not only as being the first guy to complete the triple header, but to now do it twice at the same track. It's unprecedented in the history of the sport.
Yeah, thank you. I think so too. I can't remember that far back, dude. I remember the truck race. I don't remember the truck race. I just remember what it is because I have the three cars in my showroom. Hey, Joe, I need this car, by the way. Okay, thanks. So somebody asked me, they're like, well, if you do the triple again, what are you going to do with the cars? And I'm like, oh, I'm getting them, that's for sure. And I guess the first triple is going to have to go up on the ceiling upside down and sit over the second one. So that's the plan. But anyway, I already got all this stuff figured out. The Xfinity race, I remember that was the battle with Brad. He was an idiot. And then the cup race was actually, I felt like, was one of the easiest cup races I had to win here. Crazy as that sounds, for as hard as these things are to win, but I just remember being like Eric Jones tonight, like just cruising around the bottom all night long, having a really fast race car and just being able to do that, and everybody moved to the top and give me the bottom. I'd be like, thank you, bye-bye. And it was easy, you know. And tonight I kind of felt that way a little bit in the beginning part of the race when I was coming up through. And once I got to about fourth, I slowed down, you know. I wasn't able to pick off the top four as quick as I would have wanted to, and they were really good. They were really fast. So, you know, I just think that having a dominant truck this time around was pretty special. People say it was a dominant Xfinity car. It was fast. It didn't feel great, but it was fast. So maybe everybody was just feeling pretty bad. And then tonight, I've never driven so hard in my life for the last 60 laps. I mean, literally, I got out of the car and felt like I didn't want to, you know. So it was really, really hard to maintain that pace up top and to feel everything that you're feeling and to trust yourself that I'm feeling the car loose, getting into the corner, sliding the rear tires, but I'm tight in the center, so I'm like, got to go up on the track bar, you know what I mean, and keep the thing free rolling and keep the momentum going. And that's hard to tell yourself to do, you know, because any little moment, any little slip, you can be right in the fence, especially running that high that fast. So, and knowing that Eric Jones was catching me, you know, so I had to make sure that I couldn't just sit there and pace myself. It was all she was worth.
Kelly?
Kelly Crandall, racer.com. Kyle, has there ever been a moment in your career with some of the things you've done, whether it's the triple, coming back from an injury and going on the playoff run that you've done, or just all these wins across all three series? Has there ever been a moment where you've kind of had a moment where you're like, I can't believe I've done that, or I can't believe I accomplished that? Have you ever had that?
I'd say the 2015 Homestead was, you know, we were really good that weekend. We were really fast, and we knew Harvick was one of the most dominant cars that season, and we had to race him for the championship. And so we were in front of him. I think we were running third. I think Brad was leading, Larson was second, and I was third. And, you know, we were just kind of cruising home to finish the season to win the championship. We were going to finish third. And we were actually gaining on the leaders, and we were pulling away from Kevin. And Adam was telling me, he's like, hey, man, slow down. Like, we don't have to catch those guys. We do not have to win this race. And then the caution came out, and then we all came to pit road and did the pit stops and stuff. And then all of a sudden it became, we have to win this race. And so to go out there for my team to bust off a really fast stop, we came off pit road second. Brad chose the bottom, which was crazy. And I got the outside and just rolled the outside on him on the restart there. And then Kevin got the second. And I just remember looking up like, got to win it, got to go, got to push, got to keep fighting. And we won that thing. And that was one of the moments where it was kind of like, man, I can't believe it. I can't believe we were in a win situation, had to win, and we were able to come out with a championship through it. So that was probably one of the bigger ones.
Jerry?
Tonight was number two.
Jerry Jordan, kicking the tires.net and PRN. You mentioned the great ones getting booed, and then we talked about Kyle Larson's tweet. But have you really thought about where your place in the history of the sport will be when your career is over with? I mean, you're destined for the Hall of Fame, NASCAR. Have you thought about the ramifications of what your career will mean to future generations of NASCAR fans?
Yes and no. I mean, I've kind of thought about it, I guess, but I've pretty much come to the notion that I'll never win a fan vote. And for media votes, sometimes I can go either way. It kind of depends. So, you know, it depends on who I'm nice to or who I'm friends with. So, to me, you know, I just let results and stats and stuff like that speak for themselves. And if you're going to be elected into a Hall of Fame based on what you've been able to accomplish, then I got that covered.
Well, Kyle, enjoy your week off. You certainly earned it, and we'll see you in 2 weeks in Darlington.
Thank you. Appreciate it. You'll have fun.